Voice for Choice podcast, the podcast that focuses on China issues with special attention to the Central and Eastern European perspective. I'm your host, Kara Němečková. Here to discuss Budapest's deepening ties with Beijing is Szabolcs Csapany, investigative editor at the V-Square Project. Hello and welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In February, Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orbán met China's Minister of Public Security, and the two sides pledged to deepen collaboration in policing and security, signing a series of agreements. And it has been reported that as a follow-up to this agreement, the Chinese police will have the right to patrol on Hungary's sovereign territory jointly with the Hungarian patrols. But what does it mean really in practice?
Well, we've seen already that that Serbia has signed a similar agreement with China. What it means in practice, we just don't know, because the thing is that both Serbia and Hungary and their governments are pretty secretive about their real intentions. What we know is the official statement saying that, well, we just need the Chinese police so that they can help the Chinese tourists. But that doesn't really make sense, because Chinese tourists have been in Hungary for quite some time, and historically Hungary has been hosting the region's largest Chinese diaspora in Budapest since the early 90s, a couple of tens of thousands of people. Nobody actually knows what's the real size. But what we've been seeing is not an influx of more Chinese tourists to the country, but an influx of Chinese businessmen, Chinese investments, and also Chinese workers. So my assumption is that since China's presence in Hungary as an investor, meaning electric vehicle factories, battery factories are popping up in every second larger Hungarian town, there are announcements almost every month that a major investment is coming in. We also know that there's a serious labor shortage in Hungary, so it absolutely makes sense that it's not only the Chinese investments that need securing, but also the Chinese workers and the Chinese personnel who operate, who work in these factories, who need certain policing. What's quite shocking here is that Viktor Orbán's government has been the most vocal about how sovereignty is the number one thing for small countries such as Hungary, that no one should tell us how to live, what to do, what kind of foreign policy to pursue, that that Brussels is trying to force us to accept things that are against our sovereignty. But actually, like, no country has such requests to have their own police patrolling on Hungarian streets. This is really something unheard of. Of course, as members of NATO, we do have, for example, American servicemen, American military personnel stationed in Hungary since the 90s. That's completely normal since we have the NATO framework. But with this agreement, the lack of transparency and also just the completely blurred intentions behind it are pretty worrying, I think.
Do you think it's a security concern for other EU member states? For the neighbor countries, for example?
Well, since Hungary is part of the Schengen zone, and we've seen, for example, when it comes to Russia, how the Czech Republic is trying hard for months to restrict the free movement of Russian diplomats, because they are expected that they are carrying out intelligence activities from Vienna, from Budapest, in other countries that already expelled their diplomats in dozens. I think the same does apply to Hungary and China. There's a huge Chinese, basically, outpost being built in Budapest. Hungary is part of the Schengen zone, as I said. So these people can freely travel within the European Union, and we've seen that that China does have an intention to to find out a lot of about the political intentions of the European Union. Economic and technological espionage has been a very serious issue. So because of all that, I think it's pretty concerning. And also just from a pure human rights perspective, that China is a repressive dictatorship. It's a one-party state. it's a place where their citizens just disappear overnight and we don't hear from them for months. And this also applies to Chinese government members. So you can imagine that that within the EU, giving certain law and justice tasks to Chinese policemen, even if they just police their own people, but still, we're an EU member state. Hungary is an EU member state. We should uphold the all the values and rights that, and those apply also to the Chinese people who reside in Hungary. So I think that it's just, even from this human rights and ethical perspective, it's pretty damning.
You mentioned that Hungary has become a very attractive destination for EV-related Chinese investments. I'm wondering whether this is explained purely due to the close political ties, or do you think there are some structural economic reasons for that?
Well, actually, this has been happening for quite a long time. Viktor Orban really wanted to lure in more and more Chinese investment since he took power in 2010, but it was not happening for a very long time. For obvious reasons, China is reluctant when it comes to actually spending money, and also to earn their trust, you need a lot of time. And I think the turning point was in 2018, 2019, when the Trump administration was really pushing for pushing against Huawei and try to force its EU allies to ban the 5G network equipment manufactured both by Huawei and ZTE. And Hungary, although we hear a lot and we read a lot about how close the ties between Donald Trump and Viktor Orban and their people are, despite all this smokescreen, Hungary was very firm in refusing any kind of US request, even to consider that Huawei poses a security risk. Hungarian politicians such as Foreign Minister Péter Szijjártó openly told multiple times that Hungary is not discriminating against any country. Anyone who wants to invest are welcome. He also said specifically that he didn't see, no one provided him with any concrete evidence that Huawei's network equipment posed any kind of national security threat. So just leave us alone. And this is what the Chinese, I think, started to really appreciate. That's when they realized that indeed in Hungary, all their investments are absolutely secure, regardless of what the US wants and what kind of pressure they are trying to put on Central European countries and on EU member states. So from that point on, things really started to speed up in 2020 during the pandemic. There was also all the fanfare and lots of propaganda in Hungarian government media about how China is helping out Hungary with all the protective equipment and ventilators and everything. Of course, me and my colleagues, investigative journalists in Hungary, we uncovered how low quality these equipment were and how overpriced they were. And certain businessmen close to the government were benefiting actually from these deals. But since that point on, we've been seeing an influx of Chinese investment to the country. Mostly structurally, what's happening is that previously Hungary was just really a brick in the wall of German economy, mostly the car industry and some other manufacturing subcontractors and suppliers of the car industry were having and still having factories, plants in Hungary. But with this technological shift or change with the electric vehicles and with all the battery supplied electronic equipment, Viktor Orban realized that, you know, he has to keep up with the latest trends. And now Hungary is more and more becoming just a brick in the Chinese economic wall. So because of that, there's no such thing as a supply chain security anymore in Hungary. All our major new industrial plants will be exclusively reliant on Eastern Asian companies, technology, workforce, resources, etc. So this will put Hungary on a trajectory where even if there's a change in government, it doesn't look like there's going to be one pretty soon. But even if there's a new government that wants to pursue a different type of foreign policy, their hands will be tied because of the economic realities. So I think for the foreseeable future, for 10 or 15 years, Hungary is just going to be tied to China. And of course, this is also quite dangerous when there's an imaginable scenario that between China and Taiwan, some military conflict will occur. And further, for example, US sanctions or EU sanctions against Chinese companies or Chinese entities, what would the Hungarian government do? How can these plants stay operational in the country? So there's lots of risk, and we don't really see that the Hungarian government is actually assessing these.
You also uncovered that some of the EU's taxpayer money will actually be helping to subsidize the Chinese EV car maker BYD. Do you think that played a role in that decision to open the new factory in Hungary?
Yeah, certainly. So whenever a new car factory or any kind of industrial plant is looking for a new site in Europe, obviously these countries are competing to convince the investors to pick their country, not just when it's a Chinese investor, but also when it's someone else. For example, Volvo was considering Hungary, Slovakia, and a number of other countries for their EV factory. Eventually, they picked Slovakia. So all of these countries are, of course, lobbying and offering all kinds of benefits and state subsidies to these investors. But the problem is that the European Union has, well, not a problem, it's a problem for them, of course. It's good for European businesses that the European Union restricts the amount of state support that can be given directly to an investor, which can be considered as like unfair or illegal state support that distorts the market. So in this case, what we're seeing is pretty funny to some extent, how Viktor Orban always seems to be one step ahead of EU decision makers and just smarter than them or looking for the loopholes all the time. So there are these so-called Repower EU funds, which are officially meant to use to substitute the reliance on fossil fuel, meaning Russian energy. And Hungary uses certain Repower EU funds to support, to essentially subsidize the purchase of electronic vehicles, and also to subsidize the installation of charging stations. This means that if you're a Hungarian citizen and if you want to buy an electric car, then you can buy it with a discount because you get some state support. And this whole scheme in Hungary was tailored in a way that actually it will benefit BYD. And according to my sources, including government sources, this was part of the package, part of the negotiation. So actually what Viktor Orban was offering partly to BYD is not Hungarian taxpayer money, but actually EU funds. So I don't know, Dutch, German and other taxpayers' money is going into the pockets of the Chinese companies' shareholders, who are actually direct competitors of European electric car makers. So it's an absurd in so many ways. And the most absurd thing is that when I reported on this in my my newsletter, journalists asked the European Commission about that. And essentially the reaction was that, well, we can't really do anything with that. Which really points to the fact that, as I said, Viktor Orban is always one or two steps ahead, and he's a lawyer. His government is full of lawyers. They are great at lawyering. They are great at explaining that everything is legal and according to the law, and this is the case here too. But of course, it goes against the whole idea why this Repower EU fund was set up. It was set up so that Europe would be more autonomous when it comes to energy and when it comes to its security. And Viktor Orban is essentially spending these funds to substitute Russian influence with Chinese influence in the country, if I want to put it this bluntly, but these are the facts.
In one of your Gulash newsletters, you recently wrote that Chinese companies who are building battery and EV factories in Hungary are aware that the country cannot provide them with solutions to cover their energy needs, so they are actually planning to build their own solar power plants. What is the scale of these projects? To what extent this could have an impact on the European solar panel industry?
The main problem is that Viktor Orban is essentially creating a China-dominated free trade zone within the European Union, where these heavily state-subsidized Chinese, either state-owned or privately-owned companies, not only do whatever they want within the country, but also, since they are already having a foothold, a bridgehead in Hungary within the European Union, they also pose a direct competition to European producers. It's a slightly different story when it comes to this solar project. So I think the amount that sources told me is $2.5 billion, I think. The size of the investment to create huge solar farms in Hungary. Unfortunately, climate change has created the situation in Hungary where it totally makes sense to install these solar panels. I mean, we have drought, we have lots of issues, and also we have lots of sun. But the bottom line is that while BYD and while the battery factories are coming to Hungary because the Hungarian government specifically offers them great opportunities when it comes to tax breaks and all kinds of legislative help, meaning that whenever an electric vehicle or a battery factory picks a site for their future plant, and whenever there's any problem with the locals, who doesn't really want any polluting industry just a couple of hundreds of meters from their houses, then what the government does is that they issue some government orders that overrule any kind of local or national regulation, and basically they exempt these factories from all kinds of real environmental oversight. The term they use is that these investments are of national strategic importance or something like that. When they consider giving that label to an investment, then it means that even if the local town or city is run by an opposition mayor, and even if the locals are heavily against it, they don't have any legal means besides organizing protests. But when it comes to the solar project, it's out of necessity. So the thing is that Hungary not only has a labor shortage, which is a clear result of the government's anti-migration policies, but it also has an energy shortage. This is partly due to the fact that it's a consequence of Viktor Orban making a decision 10 years ago that he betted on the Russians and on Rosatom building a new nuclear power plant in Hungary, which has been barely started. So it's lagging behind I don't know how many years in the foreseeable future. It's not going to be completed, which means that all these new battery factories and electric vehicle plants will need energy that Hungary doesn't look to be able to produce. So that's why, according to my sources from the business community, that's why the Chinese realized that it's going to be a problem, and they are taking the solution to their own hands, meaning that they will build their own energy plants, solar energy farms to produce the energy that they need, which makes the Hungarian government's life easier to some extent, but also it means that not only our manufacturing and our supply chains of the car industry are heavily going to be reliant on China, but also our energy production. So it means more and more dependency on China. And again, I don't really see that anyone in the government has been assessing the risks of such dependence.
As you mentioned earlier, there has been some opposition to the Chinese projects due to a number of reasons. Are we talking about just a few local protests, or is it more widespread? What is the public image of the Chinese projects in the country? Can Orbán sell it as a success of his Eastern opening policy?
He does try to sell it, of course. What the government is trying to do, they try to spin all these investments. Oh, they're creating tons of new jobs, for example. That's the slogan. The problem is, as I said, we have a labor shortage. So, okay, it creates 3,000 new jobs, but we're already seeing these past 2 years that these new jobs are filled with migrant workers from the Philippines, from Thailand, from Mongolia, from Central and Eastern Asian countries. So it's not really benefiting the local communities. And of course, this is also creating a politically and very sensitive situation where certain political parties, and I'm not talking about the government, of course, are experimenting with like racist political slogans. They try to rally against these migrant workers, and we're talking about opposition parties. So you can imagine the consequences to the political discourse in Hungary on the long run. It's going to be very nasty. And also these migrant workers are living in very poor conditions. Lots of times, as it usually happens, they are tricked. They are not receiving the salary that they were promised to. Their living conditions are not equal to Hungarian workers' living conditions. Not that an average Hungarian worker lives in such great conditions. But it's creating a whole bunch of new problems. And also because the Orbán government has been for years demonizing non-white, non-European people. When this whole procedure started, when the first migrant workers, I don't know, from India and other countries arrived to Hungary, there were actually like locals who were reporting these people to the police, that they saw someone with they saw someone with brown skin at a playground. I think it was in the town of Gödöllő, close to Budapest, and they called the police because these were like pedophile migrants or something like that. So it's just really absurd, and also the ways how the Hungarian government is trying to now mitigate these issues is pretty weird sometimes. So Hungary just celebrated its national holiday March 15th, and there was official celebration and speech by Viktor Orbán, and we had these old national songs sung by people dressed up as hussars from the 19th century. And for the second consecutive year, there was a singer of Chinese ethnicity singing Hungarian national songs dressed up in a hussar dress from the 19th century, which, you know, you can interpret it in a way that it's great that the state tries to promote the integration of Asian people, but in reality, it's just a way for them to try to create a positive image of China. So yeah, we're in a really interesting situation right now.
Are there any limits that China and Hungary can encounter in their bilateral relationship?
Well, I mean, the real limit here is what the Chinese can afford and what interest the Chinese have. Hungary is not an important country for China. This whole relationship is quite uneven it's asymmetric. And it's not that, you know, China wants Hungary to be its proxy. It's that the Orbán government's economic policies have been so disastrous that that they've been forced to take this path where they are just trying to do whatever they can to have more foreign direct investments in the country, to keep the economy running, to fix the huge hole in our budget. I didn't mention it was recently uncovered, for example, that so in Hungary we still have this these populist measures where utility bills are actually subsidized. The utility costs are subsidized by the government, so you don't actually pay the amount of money you should pay for your gas bill. Or electric bill, there's a state subsidy. It's a great way for the government to portray itself that it's defending the interests and the livelihoods of average Hungarian people. But of course, someone has to pay that bill. And it was discovered that last year, MVM, the Hungarian state-owned electricity company, was regularly taking huge loans from a Chinese bank to cover its losses and to keep its liquidity. So it's not just the investments and not just the supply chains that are becoming entirely dependent on China, but also the financing of the Hungarian budget is becoming more and more reliant on China. But it's not China's interest. It's the Orbán government's interest because this is the only way they can get money. And you know, currently, when still 2/3 of Hungary's EU funds are frozen, are blocked, are not paid to the Hungarian government due to a rule of law, democracy and corruption issues that the European Commission still has with Hungary, and Hungary has not been fulfilling the criteria to unblock these funds. They need a way to substitute that type of money, and to them it's the most natural way to turn to China. So the real limit here is how much China would want to invest in Hungary. It's not like that the Hungarian government would set, I don't know, a threshold that, oh, we don't want the Chinese to finance us above a certain percentage because it's too dangerous or risky to us. They don't really seem to care about that.
Thank you so much for your insights, Szabolcs.
Well, thank you for having me.
This was Voice for Choice. If you would like to know more about our work, please do visit our website at chinaobservers.eu. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. We hope you'll make the right choice and tune in for the next episode of Voice for Choice.